is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Harry Siegel, the New York Daily News columnist, the Daily Beast op-ed editor, and we call upon Harry, also a podcaster at FAQ, and Siegeltown are all of Harry's publications and productions. But we call upon the columnist now to help us understand the eve of the New York City primary, first time ever in June, I believe, because there are many choices and there's ranked voting. Some of this can be explained as we talk. Some of it you have to experience. So on the eve of the voting, we begin with an odd news item that caught my attention in these last days of voting. This is a troubled city, a year of pandemic. Crime is said to be very aggressive, especially in the subways. And the office buildings are not back yet. So the city is not to full authority. However, we're going to elect a mayor, and very likely the winner of the New York City Democratic primary will be the next mayor of New York. But, Harry, a very good evening to you. The news item that caught my attention was Catherine Garcia, a major candidate for the mayor, and Andrew Yang, a major candidate for the mayor, polling very well for months and months and months. Garcia of the de Blasio administration, Andrew Yang of the presidential campaign, campaign together in these closing hours of the campaign. How and why did they campaign together, and does it help them? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So New York has just changed a bunch of its rules. The primary is in June for the first time in my life, and we have this new ranked choice or instant runoff voting system where you get to list your top five picks. And the ballots keep getting counted as candidates get eliminated. And if yours is, your support goes to your number two pick, number three, number four, number five, until somebody has 50%. So given that setup, you want to be everyone else's number two. And that's the logic by which Andrew Yang has spoken well of Catherine Garcia throughout the race, because Garcia has a lot of experience and competence, and Yang's never actually run anything, so that makes sense. And Garcia, who's actually pushed back and said it's sexist of Yang to assume I'm just going to go and work for him. I'm here to run this city. But now needs to get all the number twos she can. The two of them decided to sort of join forces. Yang says Garcia's his number two. Garcia says, I'm just showing up with him to get people to turn out the vote. I'm not ranking the rest of my ballot publicly. But in any case, it's a functional alliance between the two of them. And there are two of the four candidates who look like they have a chance of winning. The leading candidate, Eric Adams, former cop, former Republican, Brooklyn Borough president, responded to this with tremendous aggression, saying personally and then through surrogates that there was something racist about this, that they were trying to stop. Initially, he said a person of color. Then after Andrew Yang, who's Asian American, his family's from Taiwan, objected to that, said a black or Latino person from becoming mayor. He suggested that there was something untoward about this, and it was a form of voter suppression or a way to steal votes. In practice, I think pretty obviously, in a ranked choice system, there's an incentive to create alliances, and this alliance worries him. But that response is an ominous signal, and one of a few pretty recently, about how he might govern as the person who appears to be in a position to win if this alliance doesn't work out and he does pull through. It also suggests, John, that if this ranked choice thing plays out in difficult or confusing ways, for instance, he's winning after the first count and then loses at the end, that he's the one candidate who seems to be positioning himself to contest the results and to say that this system was rigged or unfair to him in some way.
Let's worry about the ballot, Harry, because what we've got here is a situation that defeated me until you explained the ballot. I have a sample ballot that Harry made available to me, a sample ballot, so I can see there are many names for mayor. There are also names for public advocate and a mayor and names for comptroller, but many names for mayor. They're not alphabetical. I can't tell you why some names appear above others. But what's important is next to each name are five columns called choice options. First, second, third, fourth, fifth. Okay. I'm a voter. I'm in the booth. I have a pencil in my hand. How do I mark this ballot? What do I do to say I want to vote for this person, number one, and this person, number two? Do I have to fill in all five bubbles? And if I miss bubble, that's a word that you gave me from your column, Harry. If I miss bubble, what do I do?
So you do not have to fill out all five. You'd be well advised to, since in this system, if your number one choice doesn't work, you still have real sway if you keep filling it out, and you lose that sway if you don't. But it's a lot to fill out, and it's very confusing. John, you have a column with 13 names in it.
Right.
14 parts, because there's also one write-in, right? Some of these people, it starts off with Aaron S. Foldenauer. I could not tell you who that is, but apparently he's running for mayor. And then it keeps going down the list from there. Diane Morales, Scott M. Springer, Raymond, Jay McGuire. You make sure you fill out one first, one second, one third, one fourth, and one fifth. And if you miss, you have to step out and get another ballot. Already, Maya Wiley, who voted early, which is a nice thing New York has now, there's 10 days of early voting, had to step out and get a new ballot for that reason. It's easy to miss bubble. It's not clear what happens if you do, but your ballot may be tossed. It's certainly more likely to be challenged at that point. And so you have to really focus on that. And it's not just the mayor, by the way. You've got three picks for public advocate, I think eight, not counting the write-ins for these for controller, 13 for Brooklyn Borough President, and in my district, 7 for city council. So you're supposed to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and make your picks. And, John, it's supposed to rain on Tuesday. So I'm expecting that there are going to be some awfully long lines as people struggle to fill these out.
If I fill out number one, and then I fill out number two, and if I make a second two accidentally because I'm not, you know, this is confusing, Harry. I'm going to forgive anybody who makes a mistake. This is the first time I've seen a ballot like this. If you make a mistake and you don't catch yourself, is that a spoiled ballot?
I think it might be. What you should definitely do at that point is return your ballot and ask for a new one.
If you're aware that you made a mistake, if you catch yourself.
If you're aware. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be long lines, and you should absolutely take your time filling this out. It's going to be confusing, and I think it opens up the door to a lot of challenges. Also, John, because we're not going to be able to start counting these for quite a while, which involves the state law not changing, and so mail-in ballots can still come, and they can't start counting those until, like, basically a week after the election, it's quite possible we're going to get into July before we know who the winner is in a lot of these contests.
Logic of this, I should have figured this out, but I didn't. How is it that number twos can win? Do you get certain points for each category?
No. So your vote simply goes to your number one pick.
Right.
And remember, there's 12 candidates on the ballot. When the first one is eliminated, their votes go to their number two, and then it counts again, and that's a new round of counting. And that counts as one vote, just like any other vote. When another person is eliminated, all those people's votes go to their number two or their number three, you know, their next pick, and so on until somebody breaks 50%. This is called a ranked choice system. It's also called an instant runoff election, which is actually the point here, so that you don't end up having to have expensive, difficult to put on, and often little attended runoff elections when something is close, but have a way of really registering who voters picks would be, and consequently who their picks wouldn't be. So for me, trying to vote strategically, right, I want to make sure my number one pick is very important, and actually my number five pick is very important. So I want to make sure if these other candidates who I like, and maybe they'll do much better than expected, don't succeed, that my last pick is there, and it's going to someone I like more, and that if there's people I really don't like let's say I just don't think that Eric Adams or Andrew Yang should be mayor, I want to make sure I go all the way to five and I put someone else in there. Let's say that's Maya Wiley. I don't have to think she's great, but I want to make sure that if this comes down to the end, I'm doing everything I can to stop the people I don't want to get elected from hitting 50%. But, John, we're going to see how people actually fill these ballots out. It's also possible that my loyal Democratic older voters, you know, they fill in their first pick and they just leave it there. We're going to see how this plays out. Other cities have it, but none of them nearly at the size of New York.
Right. If I say John fills in Eric von Ludendorff to be my write-in candidate, number one, and he's eliminated right away because nobody else voted for a dead man who ran the German army 100 years ago. Okay, fine. That means my number two is my vote. Is that what it means?
That's exactly what it means.
So you can be very cagey and not really have a number one. You can make up your write-in and not really have a number one. But beyond that, I can't solve this. Harry, why did they do this? It's going to be days, if not weeks, before we get a mayor, right?
This is a primary. So it's going to be days, if not weeks, until we know who the Democrat is. And the Democrat's almost surely going to win, which is messed up, but maybe mitigates the damage done here. And the general election, by the way, does not have this new system. So you just get to vote for one candidate.
Right. Well, that makes more sense to me, because I remember voting in New York many decades ago. And I would just go into the booth and, you know me, Harry, straight Republican. It was easy, especially because they all lost, right? I mean, that was the old days in New York. If anybody wanted to vote straight Democratic, they'd be totally confused by the system, because they're all Democrats, but you don't know what to do. You don't know. All right, I'll go with it, because we have more to learn about the leading candidate, Eric Adams, when we come back. The sample ballot, I recommend to everyone that you find a way to view the sample ballot before you go to vote, because it helps a lot, especially if you have Harry guiding you through how to vote. Harry Siegel of the New York Daily News, the columnist, as well as the op editor of the Daily Beast, and the FAQ is his podcast, and Siegeltown is his production for the week. When we come back, Eric Adams, the leading candidate for the next mayor of New York. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.